Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is. Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have a story about students who are learning how to build small, quick kayaks in the northwestern United States. The students use the same materials boat builders used hundreds of years ago. We will have that story later in the program. But first, the Federal Aviation Administration has written rules to govern the use of commercial drones in the United States. The proposed rules were released at the same time as a presidential order telling federal agencies how they may use such aircraft. President Barack Obama ordered the agencies to be open with Americans and to protect their civil liberties. Jim Tedder has more.
The rules would permit new uses of drone aircraft weighing less than 25 kilograms, often called micro-drones. Businesses could use them to perform such jobs as watching over crops or inspecting bridges or electrical towers. The rules would require drone operators to be at least 17 years old and pass a written test to get a special pilot certificate. Operators would be permitted to fly drones only during the day. They would be permitted to fly no higher than 152 meters and no faster than 160 kilometers an hour. In addition, an operator would have to be able to see the unmanned aerial vehicle, or UAV, while they are operating it. UAVs would be banned from flying over people or in the area around airports. News organizations would still be barred from taking pictures using drones. The rules do not permit companies to use drones to carry packages. But as technology changes, the rules could be amended. Some businesses have already announced plans to use drones to transport goods or products. Todd Curtis operates airsafe.com. He says the proposed rules are a good first step.
The technology of drones is advancing at such a rapid rate that even if the FAA tried to its best ability to put out regulations very quickly, it would probably be superseded by the technology. So having some sort of guidance now, even though it's not official, will put some kind of sensibility and some kind of limitations as to what commercial people will plan to do with drones.
Mr. Curtis says the use of drones for some projects will replace pilots because manned aircraft will not be necessary. Michael Huerta heads the Federal Aviation Administration. He says the FAA will use public education campaigns and fines to enforce the new rules after they have been approved. The federal agency is still writing rules for larger drones. That process could take years. Micro-drones have become popular in the United States. They are operated by hobbyists, people who fly drones for the love of it. Smaller UAVs, those weighing less than 2 kilograms, have few restrictions. They cannot fly any higher than 122 meters, must stay 8 kilometers away from airports, and must remain in the line of sight of the operator. The FAA rules are designed to balance flight safety with the economic possibilities of drones. But President Obama's memo is aimed at protecting the privacy of American citizens. His order requires federal agencies to guard against the abuse of information collected from their drone flights. It also requires examination of agency policies and openness in making those policies public. And it calls for a partnership between the government and business in creating guidelines for the commercial use of drones. The rules are still months or years away from going into effect. I'm Jim Tedder.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Learning English. People have been making boats for thousands of years. Archaeologists have found evidence of boat building by early human beings all over the world. They say early humans used the boats to both hunt and explore. Christopher Cruz has more.
Some of the earliest boats have been found in the Aleutian Islands in the northwestern United States. People who lived there long ago ate sea mammals to survive. They used a small, quick kayak to hunt the animals. Russians would later name the kayak a badarka. This kind of boat is only built in the Aleutian Islands. Corey Friedman works at the Center for Wooden Boats in Seattle, Washington. He teaches students how to build badarkas using methods that are respectful of the culture.
We use very, very little materials, thus our boats are the lightest in the world.
Students make the boats the same way boat builders made them hundreds of years ago, except they do not use animal skins. The boats are built without detailed technical plans or drawings or modern tools, except electric-powered tools.
They're all done, built like sculptures, freehand, so it's more of an art than a science.
A student named Jim has been interested in boating for about 40 years. He puts different pieces together without using nails. He is building his fourth kayak. He says the people of the Aleutian Islands, called Aleuts, used the badarka to hunt sea animals.
The Aleuts would chase down seals and sea lions in this boat. So it's a very, very fast boat. I've heard that there's evidence that when the Russians showed up in the area, they found the natives paddling along at 6, 7, 8, 10 knots chasing seals.
The boats are built in about 9 days. Corey Friedman says the boats may look the same, but they have differences.
And the boats are shaped actually to their personality. Sounds hokey, but if one person's more competitive than another, we're going to have different shaped boats. All those things are taken advantage of.
The students at the Center for Wooden Boats are adults. But Mr. Friedman also teaches boat building to young people in Alaska. They are from 12 to 14 years of age and come from villages throughout the large state.
It's a leadership program, and the boat building that we do is one facet of what they learn there. And at the end of camp, for about 10 days or 2 weeks, they actually go on an expedition using the boats that they built.
Mr. Friedman says he has loved boat building since he was a child, and he loves sharing his passion with children who live in an area where the boats were first made. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. President Barack Obama's executive order on immigration was supposed to go into effect this week. The order would prevent millions of undocumented immigrants in the United States from being sent back to their home country. On Monday, a U.S. federal judge temporarily blocked Mr. Obama's plan. Judge Andrew Hanen ruled in support of 26 states that sought to cancel the order. His ruling came a day before the first part of the program was to begin. The state governments argued Mr. Obama had overreached the limits of his powers as president. They also said the executive order would cause financial harm to the states. Experts say the legal battle is far from over. Up to 5 million undocumented immigrants were excited when President Obama signed the order last year. In immigrant communities, feelings of hope turned to sadness when the judge's ruling was announced. At the White House, the president had this reaction.
We're not going to disregard this federal court ruling, so we're not going to be actually taking applications in until this case is settled.
A final decision on the case will take time. Paul Collins serves as Director of Legal Studies at the University of Massachusetts.
And the law really is not black or white on this one. If it went to the Supreme Court and they ruled on the merits of this case, it probably wouldn't come down for half a year to years.
Until then, undocumented immigrants are unsure of their future. Stephen Rodriguez was brought to the United States from Mexico as a baby. Now, as a young adult, he cannot work legally for a U.S. business.
I would go out looking for a job and nobody would hire me.
The U.S. Congress has been unable to agree on a plan to reform the immigration system. Texas Congressman Lamar Smith is a member of the Republican Party. He says lack of congressional action is no reason for the executive order.
The president said, I'm going to give them work permits, I'm going to allow them to stay, I'm going to allow them to get federal benefits. That's where he went beyond what I think he can do.
Some people have protested the judge's ruling, but state officials who brought the case say they are defending constitutional order. Mark Brnovich is Arizona's Attorney General.
This is an important constitutional principle. This isn't just even about immigration. It's about whether the President of the United States can act unilaterally on any legal issue.
President Obama disagrees.
I think the law is on our side and history is on our side. And we are going to appeal it. And we will be prepared to implement this fully as soon as the legal issues get resolved.
Until this week, history would seem to support Mr. Obama's position. Legal expert Paul Collins says states have had trouble winning cases on immigration issues.
Federal courts have been fairly deferential to the federal government's policies on immigration, particularly when those challenges are being brought by states. So the states have a tough road to hoe.
Idalis Cervantes lives in Arizona. Until Monday, she thought her Mexican-born parents would be protected from expulsion. She says she and her parents were heartbroken when they heard about the judge's decision. Ms. Cervantes says she is not backing off.
I will fight, and I know I have a whole community backing me up that will make sure that my parents stay in this country.
And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.